Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
Thank you so much for that intro, Kenny. That was very kind of you. What's up, boys?
Hey, what's going on?
What a difference a goalie makes, huh, guys?
Ooh, it's like a different team.
Yeah, it's so nice to see, yet so depressing, right? It's just like, God damn it.
It totally illustrates that these are the moves that we could have made earlier that would have helped.
Yeah, my trust in Tom Fitzgerald is extremely waned for, you know, a lot.
Yeah, so, it's an all-time low. I'm hoping he turns it around. I don't know. He could. See him have a good offseason and hope he doesn't make these mistakes again. Because he has done a lot of good in the past, but, you know, at this point, you're like, man, if you would have just pulled these triggers a little earlier, look at what we got going now.
He's saying some of the right things now, too, right? He's talking about the general structure of the team and the deficiencies that we've seen since last year, into the year, and through the playoffs. So hopefully he stands by that and realizes that, you know, maybe you can't keep all the shiny things all at once.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking the other day, the only time that we heard from him before the trade deadline was when he came out talking about his extension and his promotion to president of hockey operations. So it was all about you, and apparently in the beginning of the year, huh, Tom? Like, you didn't do anything for the team to help these guys out, but you got your extension and your promotion, so good on you, bud. But what'd you guys think of that Maple Leaf game on Tuesday night?
Well, that was pretty spectacular. I mean, they were like a force of nature that game. I mean, and you know, goaltending again saved them. It was nice to finally see, you know what, everybody's coming alive. You know, Jack looks great. Brat's on fire, right? I mean, we have no complaints with Brat, with Jack, and that's a big turnaround from a couple weeks ago where it was like, you know, what's going on with these guys?
Another one of those will to win games. Like, they just were not going to lose that game for whatever reason. That was what ingrained in them that day. And it started with Allen. Was that 25 shots in the first
25
period?
25 in the first.
That's period. Sick. That's a whole game.
Yeah.
You know, and the guys just had it going.
I mean, between Allen and everybody, I don't mind them playing with a one or two goal lead. I got to tell you, like, one or two goal lead was not safe enough all season long. And now, I mean, I'm starting to believe they can.
Yeah. It was a little bit of both in that Maple Leaf game, right? Like, you felt like once they got the lead that they were going to be able to hold on because of Allen back there and how well he was playing. But at the same time, even when they were tied or fell behind, I had, like, no doubt in my head that they were going to be able to score. They were doing everything right. I mean, they, of course, you know, they let it up a ton of shots. I think 41 shots on goal. That's a lot. But when you know, this is kind of like what we expected from Vanacek and Schmid this year. I mean, how many times did we say they got to outscore the problems? That was a typical goalie, kept you in it, gave you a chance, and then whatever other deficiencies or whatever else you lacked on the defensive end, you offensively made it up. And that was just a perfect game for what this team really is right now.
Yes.
Because, look, I mean, we know we keep looking at the standings, and tonight's a big night for the standings. What big games do we have tonight, guys? I don't know all. I know everyone's
Islanders,
playing.
Panthers, Philly, Montreal, and Pittsburgh Blue Jackets, I think, are games that we all got.
What about the Red Wings? Who do they have?
Red Wings, Carolina.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe Carolina can do something for us to help us out here.
Yeah, we were remarking the last game that nobody helped us that night. I mean, it was good the Devils won. But, boy, the team's giving away points to people we need to catch. And, you know, we couldn't catch a break. Even when, I guess it was Philly lost, they still picked up a point.
They were down two goals late in the third, too. Yeah. Like, it's not like they were tied the whole game. It's another one of those heartbreaks, you know, a couple minutes left.
Right. Like, you know, like you look at that, Philly's playing Montreal tonight. Like, I don't see any way Montreal wins that game. So, you know, give that – at least hopefully Carolina can maybe do some damage to Detroit there and keep them down a little bit. Washington is also playing, right?
Yeah, Washington's playing too.
Who do they have?
They have Toronto.
Oh, so maybe Toronto will be pissed, but I don't think Austin Matthews is playing.
He actually, I think he is playing. I don't think he skated this morning, but I think he is playing.
Okay. So, you know, and then you look at our schedule and it's like, are we going to beat Toronto two more times? Are we definitely beating the Rangers, Nashville, Philly? Like, these are all the games we have left.
Hopefully we can beat the Sabres. I know that the Senators put up like 5 goals in the first period against them yesterday.
They scored 6 yesterday against them.
Yeah, 6-2.
But these are the games that I worry about. Okay, mm-hmm. It was only a couple games ago against mm-hmm. a team that's a lesser team, and look what happened. And to see that they did great against Toronto, that's awesome. Toronto was ahead of them in the standings, and if they would have lost, you would at some level understand why. And these are the games that they shouldn't lose. And this is what has been the story all year. You're dropping the games you shouldn't lose. So we'll see. It's been such a nice turnaround. Has it been perfect? No. And one of the knocks since the recent turnaround is you still have dropped a couple games to lesser teams.
What's the percentage now? Like 13?
I think we're like at 14 10? Or something.
Oh, 10? I thought I saw 10 something today.
It's
immediately after the game, they were claiming it was 13, but it goes up and down based on who else has played. And
sure. I mean, if all three of those teams in front of us lose tonight, we go up without doing anything.
Right.
Well, yeah, Dan, to your point, I was sitting there today and I was looking. I'm like, what exactly have they done since the goalies came in? I feel like we're winning way more than we're 3-2.
Even. 12% even on Money Puck.
12%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Bob.
What'd you say?
I wasn't listening.
I was looking at the stats since the goalies came in.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? That was started with the Dallas game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a win. That's one.
Well, no, it was the Ranger game. Wasn't that Kako Kakinen's first start?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's true. Right. And he played well, but they lost.
Yeah.
That's right. He did because Allen had the visa problems or whatever, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So we had the win against Dallas, the win against Pittsburgh, the win against the Jets, the win against the Islanders, and the win against Toronto. That's 5. We lost against the Rangers, the Coyotes, the Knights, and Ottawa. So it's still, for as well as they played, 5-4.
Yep.
And we one still game out of 500.
And Ottawa you look was at a it, crusher, man. That was a crusher.
Ottawa was a crusher in Phoenix. I think they definitely should have won that game, too. If you flip those two over, that's a, you know, and that's what I can't say that this team has totally turned the corner because, you know, since the goalies came in and they're definitely doing their job, even in the losses, the team manages to drop a couple here and there to lesser teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now when everything's like so hyper focused on the points because you're just trying to get in the playoffs, you know, we're really examining that hard. To some extent, your team's always going to let you down once in a while against a lesser team. We've always been familiar with that happening with the Devils and any other team, but you know this has really been the story this year, definitely.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, unless they have another level to kick it up to, which we haven't seen yet, and they should. I mean, if they did make the playoffs, they better have that other level. But this is when you have to kick it up there now. If there is another level to this team, man, they got to get to it and see what they can do. Because right now, Washington is playing better hockey than the Devils. Flyers are playing better hockey than the Devils. The Red Wings, I kind of think, like, you might be able to catch the Red Wings, but are you going to be able to catch two of those teams? Because it's pretty much 4 teams over 2 spots, right? So, yeah, and so let Philly and Washington kind of battle over that 3rd spot, and then it'll be us and Red Wings and whoever is left for that wild card spot. But, it's going to be hard.
And Chris, I know you're not a draft guy. You know, you're not into the draft picks and stuff, which I do believe the draft is important. But do you think do you guys think we're good enough to, like, it's just, have you guys seen anything this year to tell you that we're really able to compete in the playoffs this year? Like, do you think if we actually got in there, do we have the team that can actually compete, or should we kind of, you know,
ever throw it in. Not, where this team
never
is
throw
right
in your
now,
hat, but are we good enough to actually –
I mean, you can't bet on us going far in the playoffs at this point, objective reality. But I do think this team has, like, if everything clicks right, this team has the ability to go on a run. And it could be a surprisingly long run. But, you know, I think it's going to happen.
Boy, I haven't seen a run this year. That's what sucks.
If we're going to make the playoffs, do I feel confident we're going to get out of the first round against anybody? Not necessarily. No, I can't feel confident with that. Mm. But I know the capabilities there. I mean – It's not like we got a team full of people who don't have talent. It's a matter of, can they keep this talent gel together? And the question is, like, if they make it into the playoffs, that's going to take an extraordinary run of off of games. At that point, you will have to have some confidence in this team.
Right.
Because they have just done the impossible. Yeah. Right? And then I might change my tune. From where I sit today, not only is it not likely they make the playoffs, if you magically put them in there, you can't expect them to go very far with the level they've been playing. Yes, like Bob said, even since the goalies, you know, it's not been the kind of record that will necessarily make you go really far in the playoffs.
Well, and that's the problem, is I haven't seen that streak this year at all. I haven't seen anything to tell me that they can go on a run, which I hope they do. I mean, you know, they've won four out of five right now, I think.
Four out of five.
You know, I mean.
Which, you know, that's great. But, you know, again, the runway is very short. So, yeah. You know, on tomorrow night, like, how I kind of think today's and tomorrow's going to go, we're going to get everything that we need today, and they'll lose to Buffalo tomorrow. And that is only because of how I felt all year, just from the evidence we've seen all year. Now, like I said, if there's another level, they need to get to it now, and they need to, you know, start playing that way. Because I agree with what Dan said. If they were to make it at sitting with nine games left, a 12% chance of getting in, and if they somehow got in, it would have to be not only other teams kind of falling off a little bit, but the Devils playing the best hockey of the season. So,
right. Montreal's winning 1-0 against the Flyers right now.
Stop the game then, and we're good.
And Maple Leafs won over the Caps.
Game over. 1-0
Caps.
Holy cow. Maple Leafs won already?
No, they have. They're 1-0 over the Caps.
Oh, I thought you said they won. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. I was like, what time was that game? All right. So,
you know, their ability to play better against the competition is a little comforting if by some magic we get in. Again, if we get in, right. I think we're going to be playing a brand of hockey that'll probably warrant at least a legitimate chance of getting through a round or two. I don't know that we're odds on Stanley Cup favorites by any means. But they do play a little better with the other team. Short of Carolina, I wouldn't want to get them first round. I just think that they would bounce us quick. And collectively, of late, they are showing more of the ability to play those types of playoff games. A long way to go. And if, you know, logistically looking at what they've done so far this year, it doesn't paint a picture of, you know, pushing through the playoffs by any means.
But if they win, they beat Buffalo and they beat Pittsburgh, their next two opponents, right? So then it would be, what, six out of the last seven. And then you go into a Wednesday night against the Rangers, that being a huge, huge game. And we'll talk about it late next week more, but, like, for so many different reasons. It's right. Not just the points. There is so much just pride and everything else that's on the line in that game. If they can win that game and maybe even win it, decidedly win it, I think that can really be a catalyst for the final push.
It's got to make you a bit of a believer games. At that point. That,
yeah.
You know,
if they can win now, if they go on that run and win the next three, I mean,
yeah,
that can then maybe those odds are cooking up over 50%. And then
hope the team is not looking at all those things that we're thinking about right now. Because if you're the Devils, if you're that team, you just got to do a one game at a time thing.
Sure.
You know, because it's so overwhelming to look at the odds right now.
I mean, here's the thing. If we get there with, say, three out of the next 4 points at minimum, right, then that Ranger game becomes literally the biggest game of the year for all the reasons you just said. And it would keep this kind of streak going. But if we shit the bed on these next two games, we lose two in a row. It's going to mean nothing.
Nope. I mean, at that point, I think that game is still going to mean a lot, but it won't be about playoffs.
It'll be more about next year.
Yeah, exactly. And then the direction of the club and mm-hmm. character, you know.
And then maybe you take one of those guys out, so they're not going to be at 100% for their playoff run.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you lose the next two, that your main goal in that Ranger game should just be hurt everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, hurt everyone.
Exactly. You know they're going to get us 1 point away from the playoffs and just break our hearts on the last
could,
game.
Most likely. It's most likely that's what's going to happen. But like I said, if you can get it to that coin flip, because – the Devils do have one ace up their sleeve. They own tiebreakers over everybody above them. Yep, so true. Even if we are tied at points with any one of those teams for one of those spots, it's ours. Yep. So
it's because we got 0 points in overtime losses.
Yeah, and if it did come down to that, we'd be grateful for the fact that we were bad enough to not make it to overtime because we ended up just getting the wins and the losses. What?
How many shootouts did we have this year? Maybe like two?
No, none.
I swear we had zero. We had
five bonus points, right? I think that's it.
We call them participation points.
Right.
I thought we had participation points.
No, and we have not had a shootout.
No, because Chris, that's been one of Chris's.
Yeah, I made predictions. That prediction. We get the first one.
Wow. Yeah, only four overtime losses. Actually, that's it.
How many times did we go to overtime? Nine.
No, we went four. Right.
Well, no, it's four losses. The wins, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Oh yeah, how would we? Yeah, that's not on there. It's just a win. Yeah, but no shootouts yet. So tomorrow night, like you said though, Dan, like yeah, the Ranger game on Wednesday could end up being the most important game of the season. Tomorrow night against Buffalo is the most important game of the season right now. Yeah. And you know, Buffalo was fighting for their playoff lives, and then they got trounced by Ottawa yesterday. So what kind of mood are they going to be in? You know, that's the other thing. Like it's going to be playing. There's not going to be an easy game.
And it is sometimes dangerous playing a team that just got their asses beat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They come out angry, absolutely.
You know, and too many times we've just seen the slow starts are just – it's going to kill us. If they even made it to the playoffs, that's going to kill them.
I mean, that's when the goaltending has really helped us, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's been good the whole game, don't get me wrong. Whether it's Allen or, you know, it doesn't matter. They've both been excellent. But really where they've saved us – is early on in the games because there's slow starts. Like you said, they were really, really flat against Toronto, and Toronto came out and threw like, what did they have? Like 20 something shots in the first period.
Yeah.
And they were all high quality shots. It was like, there's no way we're winning this game like this, but they held us in there enough to do that. So that's like spectacular. Yeah. That's what we
and need. Even when Allen started to let in a couple of goals, you look at the couple of guys that got them, they're pure goal scorers, man. You just can't fault them. They have knack for scoring. Austin Matthews and Nylander, was it right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. They're gonna get their chances, and he still, yeah, he kept that team in it.
And if Vanacek or Schmid is in that game, it's five blown against out in the first period. Easy.
Yeah. I mean, more likely than not. I think you're right.
Read some good news on Schmid down in Iska. He's only let in like two goals in the last three games, I think, here. Or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I read an article about some of our guys down in the Adirondack Thunder in the ECHL. These guys are apparently playing great goal. Brodeur, his kid. There was a couple of other guys that they had that they've been killing it down there.
Nice.
So that could be fun.
Yeah, and this is the same Thunder that used to play in Trenton.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they were ECHL too. Yeah, I didn't realize that's where they moved. All right, somewhere in New York, Adirondack,
yeah. I don't know what – Adirondack, is that an actual town?
I think they just mean the Adirondack. It's probably near Lake George or somewhere. Right. Who knows?
All right. So, Dan, you have a devil you know tonight?
Oh, yeah. I got one, and it's –
It's somebody who's played more than 15 games in the NHL?
More than 15 games, yes.
That's a good thing. That's
the first clue. This devil played more than 15 games?
All right, so we are about to dive into the most fun game in hockey podcast, Devil Hockey Podcast history. It's time for the Devil You Know.
Shall we play a game?
The Devil You Know, the Devil You Know, the Devil You Know.
Buckle up, boys and girls. It is time for the Devil You Know on the Uncle Pucker New Jersey Devil Podcast.
Dan's going to give us clues tonight for a former New Jersey Devil player. Bobby, me, and Tony have to guess. We can get three incorrect guesses, before we are eliminated. We can ask Dan any question we want. He can or cannot answer it. It is completely up to him. Dan, whenever you're ready.
Okay, this former Devil was selected within the top 50 of the 2001 NHL entry draft. And it was not by the New Jersey Devils. This former Devil has played on a total of five NHL teams.
Is he playing still?
This former Devil's retired.
Yeah, that would be 23 years in the league.
He's an Iron Man.
In the 80s.
Yeah. I played over, I think I told you, five teams, right? Five teams. Mm-hmm. He shoots left, primarily been a left wing. Times he's played center. He has played in over 900 games in the NHL and over 170 with the Devils.
Stefan Richey?
No,
way before that one, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. This former Devil is born and raised in Ontario, the province of Ontario. He played junior hockey there as well.
What year was he born?
He didn't give us a birthday.
He was in the 2001 draft. I could look up his birthday if it comes to that.
Early 90s, probably.
Probably. Mid-90s. So he also is not a huge guy. He's listed at 5'9", 185.
Who drafted him, Dan?
He was drafted by a team he later went to. One of the last teams he played with, he went back to them. The Los Angeles Kings.
Okay.
And let's see. He was born the same year the Devils came to New Jersey.
82.
Mm-hmm. 82.
Oh, yes, sir. Way off.
So 19 when he got drafted.
Yep. He played for University of Michigan. He was a Wolverine. After his junior hockey career, he played U.S. college hockey. And he is unusual in heritage among the NHL in that he is half Italian and half Jewish. In his background.
When did he play with the Devils?
He played a total of three seasons with the Devils. And those years began in 2014. His last year with the Devils was 2017.
So Mike Camilleri?
Yes, Mike Camilleri is right. Correct.
Nice. Good. Very good. Bobby, two in a row.
Nice, Bobby.
Nice, dude.
It's the last NHL. NHL 14 is the last video game I bought for NHL, and Mike Camilleri is on the team leading the score. Kaden always plays it. Thank God for keeping old shit.
Remember Blades of Glory? We used to play that all the time at your dorm room, or your house, actually, up in Providence. Blades of Glory.
Was it Blades? I remember getting NHL 94, too, of course.
That NHL 94, too.
That was the one.
Or maybe 95. So, like, I remember 94, but didn't we play Blades?
I think we had a few of them,
to that. You had a little fat guy, and then you had the skinny guy that just looked like little boxes.
That's right.
That's the Nintendo one.
That was the Nintendo one. Yeah, it might have been Nintendo or Genesis or one of those.
It was like only three body types, right?
Yeah, like the blue helmet. Yeah. They were like that. Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, when they, I remember playing the NHL. What game was it?
Probably NHL 94 and 95 is the one we played the most.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Well, 94, that's got everyone into the hockey games. I think I continued to buy them every year after that, but 94 always holds a special place for a lot of people.
Do you still play video games?
No.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I got my kid PlayStation 5, got the most recent NHL, I guess 24. Played him once or twice if he has to play, but I don't have any time for that.
It looks so good, though, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing how much they've evolved?
I'd be playing it every day, dude.
I remember how high-tech NBA Jam looked when they had it next to the Sawmill. Remember that, Chris, on the boardwalk? What was it, Lucky Leo's?
Yeah.
That was fun. I remember it looked – back then it looked like – I mean, to me that was pretty high-tech. I remember being like, wow.
Should we tell Tony?
We should tell Tony.
We had NBA Jam in our house.
Oh, really? The actual game machine?
Yeah. Right next to the pool table.
And the pinball machine.
And the pinball machine.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was an awesome friggin'
pretty sweet.
Well, but, I remember, Dan, I remember you playing Mortal Kombat, man. We would go to that pool hall, and you would just stand there and play Mortal Kombat
games
all fucking
were, like,
night.
So addictive. I would
you
just play
sit there with
those
a pack of cigarettes, man, and just you would just smoke and have
I don't think there's ever been a game that has consumed more of our life than the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Never played it.
Oh, we played that a lot, especially at that one same house. We were there constantly playing that.
like
we'd like turn on the radio, listen. Owen and I just play that for
the
couple
minute
hours.
We get home from work. Yeah. Obi and Anthony went on, and we would sit down in front of the TV, and then like this is like before we had internet and shit. Because I remember like getting the cheat codes. And we had one computer upstairs.
Oh, I forgot about
and getting the cheat codes and finding those, like perfect balance and unlimited everything. Dude, it was awesome. And but that game was so great.
It was
great
fun.
Soundtrack. I think, I feel like we talked about this like early last season on the podcast too, because I remember we all had like these different special ability, or one was just a little better than the others, like whether it was air tricks or just the racing and the long riding. So we'd always kind of constantly be battling against each other because there's certain things like you just couldn't beat Dan in.
Yeah.
So much fun. That was fun. I thought about that game a few months ago. I don't know. I'm like, I wonder if you could still find it and play it. Like, but I never did.
Dan, we didn't even have a game system, did we? At that apartment, we had nothing up there.
Collect all the tapes.
Oh, back there? No, we had nothing. We were lucky we had a working TV.
That big fucking fish on that, the big gigantic
the marlin.
Swordfish, the marlin or whatever that was.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah.
Dan, you got addicted to
a lot of stuff.
GoldenEye.
Oh, yeah. GoldenEye.
What did
brown
you say?
Eye.
Yeah. Addicted to Brown Eye.
Yeah.
Not really that. GoldenEye, my brother was better at that than me. He used to constantly light me up with that.
Oh. Yeah, but Tony Hawk Pro Skater just completely consumed our freaking lives, man.
That was fun.
It was
that was
a lot
a good game.
Of fun. I would love to find that now and play it. That was a ton of fun.
I know. My brother-in-law has like a bunch of arcade games in his basement. He's got a lot of those old fighting games.
Yeah.
So like I didn't play them forever. It's all muscle memory. Like I remember – and he like plays this stuff and I destroyed him. Like it's like I can't not know how to play that anymore. Like it's
oh my god!
It's
I have the opposite
like
problem.
Yeah.
Last time I was out traveling for work, we went to one of those places, tons of throwback games and bowling and all that. And I went over to the Mortal Kombat machine. I'm like, here we go, no problem. 1991 all over again. I never seen a quarter go so fast in my life or whatever we paid. Dude, I couldn't even throw a punch before. I was just a bloody pulp.
When you know, like the computers were always harder. I played in the arcade. Sometimes I'd play on the same quarter for like. Hours,
yeah,
but because you were playing
everybody
people.
There, yeah.
But the computer was like, maybe you get to the point where you get through it, but it was annoying. Nobody wanted to play the computer.
No, I'm sitting there going like back, forward, button, trying to get Scorpion to throw his little thing, and all I'm doing is like air punching. This is going nowhere.
I'll tell you though, you talk about the muscle memory. When I was little, I remember we went away for like a weekend with my family, like the only vacation we ever went to, and the hotel we were staying, I had a little arcade, and they had Gyrus. And I played that every night when we got back to the hotel for like three nights straight. And I would play for hours. And I hadn't played that game in a long time. And I remember being like a teenager, probably 10, 12 years later. And I got on that game somewhere in one of the arcades. And I remembered every pattern from the boards that I had played. And because all the ships come in different patterns each time. And if you know which way they're coming, you can pick them off right away. And I killed it. To this day, I get in front of Gyrus, I could play it for an hour.
You're like Tommy, man.
What's that?
Tommy from the Who, you know?
Yeah. It's I can like your short play Mean Gyrus. That doesn't roll off the tongue.
I never played Gyrus. I don't remember that game.
Yeah, it was just, you were one little ship. You can go completely around the screen 360.
Sounds like Space Invaders.
Different it was basically Space Invaders.
Or no, Asteroid, right?
Or Space Invaders.
Yeah. Space Invaders, they were like coming down on you.
Yeah, and Space Invaders, you can move all throughout the screen. This, you kind of can only go around, and everything is in the middle. And you just have to shoot, these aliens.
Like inverted asteroid.
Flying in. It's a very basic game from the 1980s, but. That was the same thing. I remembered every pattern from that.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the 7-Elevens used to have the arcade games in them? Like over by where I used to live over in Bricktown, they had like Rolling Thunder, which I used to love that game as a kid, where you had the guys with their hoods and you would just run around shooting each other.
I remember that.
Yes, 7-Eleven had that. Like you would have Frogger there and stuff. It was a whole different time period, man. It was pretty bad.
My brother just got Rolling Thunder. He was telling me about it. He got a, I guess his fiance got him one of those small boxes. I don't know if people are buying those.
I wonder, that has to be 82 or 83, something early.
It's old. That was really old. Because
I was a real little kid playing that.
Yeah. You go into arcades now, they barely have any games. It's pinball and skee ball and then crane machines as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, I took my kids to Barnacle Bill's. Okay.
Oh, God, that's the same thing, yeah.
Does the boardwalk still have the game stands on it and stuff like it did? Sure. It's all day and tape, remove all that stuff.
Yeah, most of them are like dancing games or like these giant crane games. They don't have as many Like maybe they have some of those shooting games, but
yeah, they'll have a couple of the big like driving games that you can sit two people in and stuff,
right.
Or like those big Jurassic Parks and shit. But mostly it's cranes. It's
things you win points. Things you win points to trade up for more of that.
Yeah, that's real popular.
Yeah, Barnacle Bill's the same thing, dude. It's
So I took my son there. I showed him like this is where grandma used to take us on the beach. This is where she'd give me a couple bucks. I'd walk all the way up here, go to the arcade, but then we're there. I'm like these games, like I guess for the kids today, it's still fun because it's still some kind of interactive game, and they always get to leave with something crappy that just winds up in a drawer. But it's just totally different.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least we get air hockey.
Yeah, that's true. We still have an ongoing. Air hockey battle, Bob.
They have those Yestercades places. Yeah, I took my son to one in Red Bank. Yestercades. It's like a
Yestercades. Oh, like yesterday's
all the older games.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, and there's one in Asbury, right?
Maybe there's definitely one in Red Bank. That's where I took my kid. And you pay like $20 an hour or something, which and then just go around and play anything for free. And that was kind of cool. I played some of the older games, you know, like that. I like totally forgot existed. Mm-hmm. Like, remember there was an old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game?
Centipede.
Like four players and shit. Yeah.
Remember Primal Rage?
Yes, they had that there too.
That was fun.
King Kong or.
Yeah.
Whatever you are.
Yeah. And there's a pinball museum in Asbury. And you same thing. It's tons and tons of old pinball.
That's
and
awesome. I have seen that place. I forgot that was there. Yeah.
I love pinball.
I don't understand my problem with pinball and how I could be so bad. It's simple in design.
I've never got good at pinball. I always felt like there's an element of luck in pinball that you just can't get around because the flippers only go out so far.
Right.
So when that ball comes straight through, you're fucked. There's nothing
you can do. Right.
But everybody's like, oh, I'm really good at pinball. Like, are you? Are you? Like, I don't know. I mean, I never let one go by without hitting the button, but you know, like, come on.
Right.
But I will tell you that any skill involved.
I did work at a stand on the boardwalk over the balloon. My first jobs ever was in Seaside at the where they throw the darts at the balloons. Yes, and it has the little tags behind them, like you know, for the total rip off. And I remember like my boss even told me he's like everything says
you're
small.
You're trying to tell
it.
Us those carny games in the
total
boardwalk.
Rip off, man. Rip-offs? Everyone is none of them are large. They're
this
all
is shocking.
Small prizes.
This is
yeah.
shocking.
But you just have to stand there.
Uncle Puckers.
breaking news of the Seaside boardwalk,
guys. It's those like boardwalk the games, they're rigged.
It's one of the so first things I taught rigged. My kids when they were little, and we'd go down there. Like, there's two types of people in this world. There's carnies and rubes. Which one
that's
do you want to be? You want to go up and play that game? You're a fucking rube. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'd be so disappointed in my kids if they wanted to play those games. I'm like, you grew up here. You don't play those games. These are not for you.
What do you pay for those games now? They used to be a quarter. What it has to be like
probably like
$1.50 now.
$10 for three darts.
Even when my kids were little, like I would take them to the arcades over in Seaside and like go to the crane games only in the off season because they would they'd set them to easier. When it was the off season, I'm like you never drop a dollar in from Memorial Day to Labor Day. They have that thing on extremely impossible setting. It's just you can't get it. So we'd go and I'd always, you know, I'm good at the crane games, but I can't win shit in the summertime. But yeah, we go over in December and I'll win you a ton of shit. But yeah, it's all rigged. Everything.
I used to win some tapes off those Union Jacks when I was little, though. I remember like that's how I used to get a lot of my cassettes and all that.
Well, the best thing they had going on the boardwalk was this, like and they don't do this now. Forget about it. Remember that it was like a big like a kickball you had to throw and land in a certain color home for it on the thing to win cigarettes.
Yep.
And if you got decent at it, that was a good way to get cigarettes. You almost always did better than buying them. And it was the best place to get cigarettes at the time. That's
right,
all
the cigarette stands. Holy
shit.
We had a cigarette machine in the sawmill. It had the little, I don't know if they still have it.
I have
it. It
a cigarette
like
machine
bucks.
In my work.
You guys still have that.
With a legitimate pull to
that's
the fucking
cool.
little lever. Wow. And it's just as, you
Crystal
know, it's around the same price as going to 7-Eleven.
Tom's River Diner had that too. Remember? That's one of the first ones I remember.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So we got off hockey. Tone, you got some news?
Sure.
Give it a try.
Right.
Coming to you live from the Uncle Puckers news desk in a basement somewhere in Lithuania, sports, politics, current events, and entertainment, it's the news of the day with Tony A.
Tony, with you got the headphones today and the glasses, you look like a newsman. You look like the part.
and I have no pants on. You know, like they don't.
Of course.
Like all like news, real news.
Yeah, like all newsmen do.
No. Thank you, midget.
And I really.
And now I'll take it to a midget in a bikini.
How do you beat that intro, though? You have this amazing intro, then you have to follow that up.
It's impossible.
It's your problem.
Here we go. But I still start here. I have no sports news today, but besides opening day today, I don't know if you saw it, Bobby. I know you're the only person that cares about this besides me, but
Bobby
Yankees won 5-4.
Washed it out, man.
Yep. 5-4 Yankees over Houston. Those cheating son of a bitches. But
the Yankees
first. Exactly. A Chinese man drank 1.1 gallons of water and bought it up to serve as a human fountain for a record-breaking 5 minutes and 51 seconds. And I actually saw the video, and this is true. You guys should look it up. 35-year-old Ma Hu down the water and used his muscle control to regurgitate the liquid and spray from his mouth and break the former record, which was only actually 56 seconds, the original one.
What an overachiever.
Exactly.
Keep going.
I went and watched this video. You should look it up, Chris, actually. Now, the guy, for 5 minutes, he shoots the water out of his mouth. Now, with the record, there's actually rules to it.
I'm confused.
I'm just confused. Like, how did he breathe? Did he not breathe for 5 minutes?
There's a whole video on it. He drinks 1.1 gallons of water, loads up, and for 5 minutes, just as a human fountain.
But how does he regurgitate the water back up? He can't hold a gallon in his mouth.
No, it's in his stomach. He's like, he's got it coming back up.
How's he regurgitating?
He's like basically a long, controlled puke of water. Think about that. That's what it
I guess you can't eat anything before that, right? Because you can't have anything else coming.
It won't be a very nice fountain if you
do.
And there is a rule to it. If you can't dribble. If you dribble, you're done.
Foreigner popping people in the eye. You can't dribble?
You can't dribble. And you can't. And once the stream breaks, it's over.
So it has to be a continuous
stream. That's my rules when I take a piss.
Stream.
Exactly. If I stop, I'm just going to start again.
That's it. You stop. You're done.
Continuous stream.
Exactly.
But this trick dates back to 17th century, I guess. This whole human
really?
Fountain.
People have been doing this before modern crazy times.
Yeah, I actually looked up the video because I wanted to make sure it was for real, and it was for real. Yeah.
Okay, so
you get involved in something like that.
I think I'd get bored watching it after, I don't know. What was the original record? 58 seconds? About
56 seconds. And
yeah. We're like, are there local chapters? Like, where do I get more information?
I'm just amazed that people have that kind of stomach control and like throat control to be able to regurgitate it all without, you know, anything else coming up in it. It's gross. You
can't dribble.
Yeah, and that's so extraordinary.
What's your next
I just dropped water on my chin taking a sip.
Right.
Bobby, you never drink.
Bobby at the drinking
A Florida man had 100.
There we go.
It's a Florida man. We always know.
Love it.
A Florida man had 150 live bugs removed from his nose at a hospital in Jacksonville, Florida.
Bugs.
The unidentified patient went to the hospital when noticing his face felt like it was on fire. The man started experiencing symptoms in October. It wasn't until last week when he decided it got really serious. His lips started swelling. He couldn't talk. And whenever he would stand up, his nose would bleed.
Signs that maybe he should go to the hospital earlier.
Right.
Exactly. The doctors were shocked when they looked in the man's sinus cavity and saw a bunch of bugs, basically the size of pinkies. Fingers.
150 the size of pinky?
Some of them were. Some of them were smaller. So. Okay. There was erosion. Well, they actually went up into the cavity. There was erosion that was occurring near the base of the skull, very close to his eyes and brain. So that's why they had to operate on him. At first, they attempted to suck him out, but they were larval stage.
They sprayed right up his nose.
Yeah.
Did they say how he got these bugs up his nose?
Well, they never said how he got it, but they actually, it was really bad. They were like basically like almost going to his brain, and they were there since October. Could you imagine that? October?
What kind of bug was it? Was it like an ant or a cockroach or what was it?
Like a little mite, I guess. I don't know, man. They didn't say what kind of bugs they were, but they had a photo of the guy's nose.
I'm having a hard time believing some of them are the size of pinky fingers.
It's what the doctor said, man.
I know.
I find it hard. You know, if you think about your nostril cavity, it doesn't seem like it would fit.
Yeah, but what'd you say, Dan?
It's a weird unit of measurement for a doctor to give out. It's about the size of your pinky finger.
Okay. But to, like, put your pinky next to your nose, like, it, even if it got into the cavity, more than one, I don't know. I don't buy that one.
I'm not really a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night.
Man, really? That golf, yeah. 150 bugs up your
150
nose?
150 bugs, yeah. And if you imagine that's October, disgusting. Like, if you're feeling that in October, I mean, those things are living inside of you. You
right.
Know? I mean, and they were erosive.
But if it's
like,
Florida.
Actually, skull, they were. It's Jacksonville, yeah.
If you're in Florida and you're the like doctor on call and a guy comes in and says, I think I got – my face is full of bugs, you probably think it's meth or something.
Right.
Because that's just the standard thing. You know?
Yeah.
You,
so
I'm
nasty.
Just thinking early on, like the guy doesn't blow his nose for like six
right.
months.
Yeah.
Goes, oh, look, there was a bug in my nose.
Yeah, like, I mean, to me, it sounds absolutely insane. It's 150 bugs you don't
it's
know. Florida. I don't even understand how it's – but it's – yeah. I mean, it's
– it's Florida.
I mean,
wow. There you go.
Since October. I mean, that's insane. Yeah,
Tony, you're kind
year
of our Florida man when you think about it.
I was, yeah. I haven't been there in a while now, though. I've been, you know,
still in you.
It's been, yeah, it's always in you. It's always in you. Florida, you see things there, you'll never point. Forget. You know,
yeah.
King of Walmarts. 27-year-old Rosendo Tales from California was arrested for removing evidence from a site where a person was struck by and killed by a train. A disturbing video shows Rosendo holding a severed leg and eating from it. While wiping his face and walking down the sidewalk. Later on, the video shows him raising it up in the air and waving at law enforcement as they arrived.
First of all, if you're going to wave a body part at the cops, you wave the arm, you wave the hand.
That'd be nicer.
You know,
the leg.
You know, wave the leg. Nice. So he just took it and started chomping on it.
Yeah, took the leg from
the
accident.
I like the way you said it, like eating from it. Like eating from it. It was like a... Like a
too, I got a little too stoned before doing the news tonight.
Like a drumstick.
I hit the bowl too many times.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Kern County.
There's a guy that you think, he's on meth.
Yeah, what about, yeah, because there's a guy in Miami who ate
the probably has 150 bugs in his nose.
Right.
I mean, if you're eating people, the bugs probably made him do it.
Inside the fucking leg he was eating.
Yeah, and they finally broke through to the brain like they almost did with this guy in Jacksonville. And now
and
he's basically exactly he's a zombie controlled
these
by bugs.
These were zombie bugs.
Yeah, they were plankton-sized, pinky-sized people.
Zombie bugs.
Bugs. Yeah, exactly.
Only thing that makes sense.
Zombie All right. bugs. Well, the Kern County Sheriff officer reportedly took him into custody without incident on multiple outstanding warrants, and he's arrested for taking evidence from the scene, and I'm sure.
How many
it's
people
probably gonna be
do you think that hopped on this show today to listen to us talk about the devils have turned us off already? I'm just kidding.
Who doesn't from, like a good cannibalism story?
They were right about to, and then Florida came out.
The video game talk. We, you know, but I mean, last story today, which I was gonna bring up last week, which I think is a pretty entertaining story. Madonna recently was playing a show at the Kia Forum in California. She was performing and began calling out the fans.
Came out eating a human leg and blowing 150 bugs out of her nose onto the top three clouds. It was
blowing
like a top three rows. It was like a Gallagher concert. And then she guzzled a gallon of water and spit
on a great show.
5.5 minutes and regurgitated it from her belly and spit it amongst the
70 years old, the bra could put on a great show.
She's booting. He's good. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Madonna, what?
Madonna was recently playing a show at the Kia Forum in California. When she was performing, she began to call out fans calling out fans for sitting down during her performance. Before she realized
her
they were
fans
all
are 70
in
years
wheelchairs.
Old. What does she think they're gonna do?
Oh, she yelled at the wheelchair section.
A paralyzed kid was in a wheelchair. Yeah,
so the kid was kind of disrespectful. She came out to see the show.
Right.
To do a show for them, and this kid can't even stand up.
She said to the fan, "What are you doing sitting down over there?"
Oh, my God.
I stand with Madonna.
What are you getting sitting down, she said. As she walked over to the side of the stage and saw the person paralyzed, she noticed and said, "Oh, okay, politically incorrect. Sorry about that. Glad you're here."
That was her response?
Wow.
That was
her
response.
What an apology.
Yeah.
I like how she said she's politically incorrect. Like maybe she was doing some kind of edgy humor that didn't go over well. That not that she was just an idiot. Right,
it's like a Spinal Tap movie. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I'm an insult comic. I'm Madonna. You know how
why
I work.
The hell are you all sitting down over there? You know, it's
right.
Like,
oh, poor Madonna.
Good stuff, Tone.
How,
yeah, that was
how old
good,
is she
though.
Now? How old is Miss Madonna now?
She's
got to
be in her 60s.
Yeah, she's probably getting close to 70. I don't know.
Yeah, and my sisters just saw her at MSG like a month ago. So I don't think they were sitting down. Thank God they would have got yelled at.
Yeah, seriously.
apparently that's frowned upon at Madonna shows. I'm curious how old Madonna is. Let's see.
I was walking when I came in here, Madonna, but your show is so bad it made me crippled. That's what I would have told her.
What's walking? She's 65.
65.
Wow. That's what the internet machine told me. She's 65. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's jump a little bit back into hockey. All right?
Yeah.
So right now, curious, just over the Eastern Conference, if the playoffs started right now, I could be wrong, but I think it would be Boston versus Tampa Bay, the New York Rangers versus the Washington Capitals, Pittsburgh versus Carolina, and Toronto versus Florida. Florida and Boston, that Boston's won, right, in the Atlantic?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think I'm right. So the first matchup, let's say, is Boston-Tampa. What do you guys think? I think if that ends up being that, Boston's going to be bounced for the second year in a row in the first round.
Okay, so you think Tampa can take Boston out?
I think like Tampa Florida can take last every year. Team in the Eastern Conference out the way they're playing right now.
Well, they're playing very well, but you know that would be something, right? You see Boston blow it 2 years in a row in the first round after you know the setting records, and this year still looking so damn good. So.
That's why I really want the Rangers to get the top spot in the East. Because they'd be playing Tampa, because I think Tampa's pretty much set in on that first wild card spot. I don't think they're going to move off of that too much.
So, wouldn't the Rangers get the second wild card spot? If they're the top of the
league? The second wild card spot. I said the Tampa's pretty much firm in on the first wild card spot. Isn't that what I said? If not, that's what I meant to say. Right, so I'm saying if the Rangers were to, let's say, overtake Boston in points, they would be the number one seed and play the first wild card, which would be Tampa.
Okay, they are right now. They're 100 points. Boston's 99.
Okay, so it would be Rangers-Tampa. And again, I say
Thought first the highest points would get the second wild card. That's not how it works to get the first wild card.
The highest point gets – oh, no, wait. You're right. I'm sorry.
So it would be the Washington Capitals today.
It would be Rangers-Capitals-Boston-Tampa right now.
Yes. Right. So the point is you can still shake down either way. We're close enough. Down.
I think Tampa wins the first round whether they play the Rangers or the Bruins. Mm. I think Tampa is that good right now.
I'm not following them enough to know how that good. I feel like Boston has a better chance of moving on around this year than, well, last year nobody saw that coming. But I don't think they're ready to repeat that again. But ask me again in a week for sure.
So, right now it would be what, Rangers-Washington. I don't know if the Rangers want to play Washington. I don't know if the Rangers want to play Philadelphia right now. If anything, I bet the Rangers are really praying that the Devils make it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wouldn't that be something? You get into that second wild card spot, maybe the last day of the season, and you go and play the Rangers in the first round again.
That would be the best.
A true 1-8. That is a true 1-8 game.
And I honestly think that if we are in the shape that we're going to need to be just to get into playoffs, we're going to match up better against the Rangers than you think. And I think that we could do pretty well against them, probably better than who else we could be playing. Coming in at the bottom half of the, the wild card spots.
If we're going to make it to the playoffs, and you know you make it in that second wild card spot, you're playing Florida, Boston, or the Rangers, possibly Carolina, depending on how things go. So one of those.
I want the Rangers.
Out of any of them, I'm with you. I want the Rangers. Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
Man, I don't know. I don't know that I want the Rangers again in the first round.
Who would you want instead of the possible choices, right? If we got it in?
Number one team I would not want would be the Carolina Hurricanes.
Right, you made that point. That's a good point. I mean, they're tough.
Second team I probably would not want to play would be Florida. So then it's Rangers. Who else could it be?
Boston.
I guess, I would probably take Rangers over Boston.
Which, if you think about it, wanting the Rangers over the other three teams is really ludicrous as a Devil fan because we've beaten the Panthers this year. We've beaten the Bruins this year. Every game we lost against the Hurricanes was by one goal. I think the last game they got an empty netter, but it was by one goal. And I could even be wrong about that. So we are in every game against the Hurricanes. The only team that not just we haven't beaten this year, they have killed us each game, are the Rangers. Yet we all would want them.
I would take the Hurricanes, I think. And the reason I would take the Hurricanes is because it would take us such a run to get into the playoffs. Like you guys were saying earlier, we would probably be red hot. going against the Hurricanes the first round, I think you have a chance of upsetting them. You know, you're going to be rolling with such thunder going into there, because that's the way we would have to get in. Is
we'd
by,
be like rolling basically. Thunder.
Right, yeah, that's like right. Rolling thunder, bang. Like, yeah. Just like the game.
Kneeling, what taking a shot, standing up.
Exactly the plan. That's right. It's exactly it. All you need is the hood now. But back then, that was breaking. Yeah, I mean, you know, think about it. If we played Carolina off the first, if we got in like the way we'd have to get in, I think we could take them.
You get in the way you have to get in, you could upset any one of those teams.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the truth. And you would be that team that everyone's saying they don't want to play. And everybody would be comparing us to the Florida Panthers of last year. So I don't think you're going to get maybe Boston took Florida a little too lightly and they ended up getting burned for that. I don't think anybody would take the Devils lightly.
I think Florida's the scariest team right now, if you ask me. You know,
I agree. And I think
since we're doing this
Eastern Conference Final.
Since we're doing this, of course, I'm looking at the daunting task, which is the Washington Capitals with their two games in hand on us and
That's five points. Killer, man.
But
yep,
they are losing by two right now.
And this is one of their games.
To the Maple Leafs. And the Flyers are losing by two in the second to the Canadiens, and the Islanders and Panthers are tied at one. The Washington Capitals, for me, that's the one. That's the leapfrog. I think we're right there with Detroit, so as far as I'm concerned, I think we can get past Detroit. Washington just got that extra game in hand. And 5 points, that's going to be really hard the way they're playing.
What period is it? Second?
They're all in the second, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, these guys have came back the last two games in the third to bite us in the ass, so I'm not getting my hopes up. No. But, you know, if the Devils go into Buffalo tomorrow with an opportunity to actually gain ground, oh, they better fucking win, man. Yeah. You cannot lay a friggin' egg if these teams do what they need to do. And I don't, you know, there's just not enough road to hold serve. You have to make up ground.
Yeah, you said earlier got me thinking because you were like, what probably what's going to happen is we're going to get all the help we need and then we're going to shit the bed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're going to get like no help and win tomorrow. Because it's always one or the other, right? It's like we just don't move.
But this is going to tell you what the Devils are made of. If the Flyers lose and the Capitals lose and the Red Wings lose tonight, like everything went your way. It's going to tell us, like, we saw all season long, right? The injury bug happens even in-game. Like, a guy goes down like Jack, right? What does this team do? It crawls into its shell and doesn't fucking fight. And if you have an opportunity, even, you know, back when, you know, the Flyers, we were only a few points behind the Flyers, and they lost five in a row, and we didn't do anything. I think all the time that we made up, like, 2 points of ground, and then we lost it all. So let's see what this team's made of, and let's see how the coaching staff handles these guys moving forward now. Too many times we saw the piss-poor starts that just led into basically the guys giving up, which is just something we've never seen from this double team. Not as long as Nico Hischier's been on it. Like, they just never give up, and we've seen it this year. So let's see. If everything goes their way and they come out tomorrow and they just punch Detroit right in the mouth, I mean, if we were playing Detroit, that'd be great. I mean, the Sabres. Right in the mouth, like that would be like, all right, then maybe you start feeling a little bit more optimistic.
And that's been the most inconsistent thing this year is you beat a team like Toronto, you win that game. And then the next game, like we were saying a couple games ago, if you win this game, you have to come out next and try to be gangbusters. Well, you figure if tonight, if we get what we need with all these games going on, you would think you have to come out fired up next game. I mean, now this is the time you have to do it. And that's the thing we've been lacking, I think, is the, we come out flat sometimes when you would expect them to just come out on the ice like, you know,
that's killers. What I'm saying. Yeah, how this team's going to respond now is going to say a lot about them.
So who starts?
That's a good question.
It's a nice question now.
Buffalo, I put Kako in. He's coming off a shutout. Jake Allen, I like the way they've been using Jake Allen. Like, even when he's not playing, he's not even dressing. Like, there's no chance that they're going to use him. I like that. You know, he seems to really be hitting his fucking prime right now. He's trying to keep him as fresh as possible. And Kakkonen's coming off a shutout. I throw him in.
Yeah. I mean, I think either one of them are very serviceable. Mm-hmm. They'll do the job. I haven't seen anything that makes me think one of them's going to let you down and you can't trust them.
Tony?
I think either of them. Like, it's great. It's a great dilemma to have. We have both guys who are producing well, and we haven't – like, it's nice to not be like, well, which guy aren't we going to start because we're afraid he's going to give up 12 goals. Now I feel like each guy has a bit of confidence in, you know.
Your next game is not until Tuesday night.
Well, here. Yeah. So let me put it to you this way.
Nice rest.
Who do you want to play the Ranger game?
Allen.
You want Allen to play the Ranger game. So yeah. Then you're probably starting Allen tomorrow. Kako against Pittsburgh on Tuesday, so Allen to play the Rangers on Wednesday.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why I asked.
But who would you rather have, Bob? I think Allen, right?
I mean, for the Ranger game or just the next game?
Oh, the Ranger game.
I think I want Allen for the Ranger game, and I like Kako. I think he's great, but I just think that's who I want right now for the Ranger game. So because of that, I think he plays tomorrow.
Well, guys, we know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. And this week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with code THPN, and new customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. cdkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. Once again, that's the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. The crown is yours.
That is yours.
The biggest, you know, thing going into this offseason is going to be goaltending and getting a goaltender. Now, we know that Allen will be there next year no matter what. I mean, how good does Kaapo Kapanen have to be to even be considered to get a contract with this team? Like, do you think there's any chance, or is this dude just strictly 100% no doubt about it where he's a rental?
I think he's a rental.
I think there is a possibility. Let's imagine this scenario. They go on a run, and for whatever reason, he becomes the number one. Allen's injured. You know, you have to ride him because he's had a good game and Allen hasn't. And next thing you know, he takes over, and he takes you a lot further in the playoffs. That's going to totally change things. Now, what are the odds of that happening? Well, we don't even think we're necessarily going to get in. So the odds are not great. But in that scenario, you would have to say, okay, wait a second. Maybe we do need this guy. Look what he did for this team. Short of that, just based on his performance now, which has been good, really good, I still think that if you have a shot at some of these other names that we've been hearing about, you know, Ullmark, others, you would probably prefer them over Kokkonen. That's just, I think where we're at today.
Yeah.
But that could change because he's on an audition for the whole NHL, and if he proves to have a great playoffs for us for whatever reason, I don't necessarily see that Allen's going down. I'm not saying that. But if he does more than just kind of carry the workload of a tandem acceptably, instead like leads the whole team to greater success than we see ahead of us, why wouldn't you want him then?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think it's one or the other. I think you couldn't go through this offseason. If you go through the offseason, you start next year and Tom Fitzgerald just comes out and be like, hey, I like the two goaltenders we have, so I didn't go big game hunting, like I said. He's going to get torn apart, and because of that, it just wouldn't make sense. I mean, everything Dan said is true. Right now, I feel like they're trying to play him pretty close to 50-50 or probably more like a 60-40 at least to get them both a lot of reps. So if Kapanen's the last guy who gets super hot the last few games and then we do make the playoffs and he wins a round or two, I know how that would get extremely difficult, but I just can't see him surviving – and lasting here when we're supposed to go out and get that number one guy.
Unfortunately, I think no matter what, you have to walk away from Kaapo Kapanen at the end of this year. I really do. Anything short of him riding to a Stanley Cup, I think you'd have to.
And I hated that from the start. The minute Tom said that, right? Stupid.
And look, he's going to be trying to play his best hockey. He's going to want to sign somewhere. He's going to want to end strong in somebody that maybe take him as a number one. So he's going to play his ass off. I'm not worried about that just because he's here as a rental. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I think the Devils have no plans of keeping him. I think that you're right, Chris. I think that the market is going to be for a good goalie is such a thing, you know, going on. So if he can have a successful year with the Devils, the end of the year at least, go into free agency, he'll pick up with another team. I think I really do believe Markstrom will wind up here by the next year the time we open up the season. I really do believe it.
I just want to touch on this real quick because I've been thinking about this. So I believe that this team needs a big forward on this team, but I also see the way they've been playing these last, at least, you know, these last five games. And I'm thinking, you know what? They are playing a little bit more physical. And there are certain guys that I was so down on early on in the year that I can see a little bit of them turning. And the main dude is Jesper Bratt. Now, right. We touched on it a little bit. If this is the Jesper Bratt we're going to get night in and night out, I want Jesper Bratt on this team for the next X amount of years. I love absolutely, and not only love the way he's playing, I love that he's becoming a much bigger leader in that locker room. And yes. When he's starting to talk more and he's starting to be
more vocal. Yeah,
being
absolutely.
More vocal. And I'm really liking it, which leads me to I'm still want somebody, but maybe it doesn't have to be a big name, a big Brady Tkachuk type trade Jesper Bratt kind of thing. I'm not kind of on that train anymore, but to get a guy like Markstrom, you have to trade. And I'm liking the way that this team looks right now. Like mm-hmm. we talk about Alex Holtz, right? I'd like mm-hmm. to kind of see Alex Holtz move forward on this team. Don't know if that's possible, but why just say to go for a trade? I think a guy like Lorraine Brossoit, who's a free agent, I think he is a number one goalie. And I would be, if they signed him, you know, Bob, I don't know if that goes to against your big game hunting with the fans beyond him over that, but I look at that dude and think a free agent like that, a big pickup like that, and we don't have to trade maybe necessarily guys like Alex mm-hmm. Holtz. Like maybe we can just tweak the things we have to tweak or and kind of just keep him in the top six to see what he can become for another year or so. I like the idea of a free agent goaltender a lot more than trading away certain guys because I kind of see a lot more of an upside with these certain guys in these last five games. And you just think, okay, if things are starting to come around and these guys are playing this way, you know, their best hockey is way in front of them. And I want to see it on this team.
That's an interesting take. And then I want to add something else back to the goaltending situation, too. I might actually like Kakinen better as a full-time backup than Allen in the long run.
Loves the cock.
I think it kind of depends on who can handle. If you're getting a true number one, it's going to get a little bit more.
That's what you're trying to say.
Bulk of the games.
The bulk of the cock.
Still got it.
Oh.
Derailed.
That's derailed it. Completely.
Remember that thought, Bob?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't know if I can get back to it, though.
We're all right. We got you. Come on. It's a safe space.
You got
space.
Me? Where was I?
Handling the cock.
Handle the backup role better. Yeah. If you're talking about a guy who's going to sit a few more games, like Allen's getting hot right now. He likes to play. He wasn't good when he wasn't playing that much. So if you put him as the number
with
two.
The cock
okay, that's it. End the show.
He likes to play with
the cock.
Cut.
Play with your cock.
No, go ahead.
Back up into it.
All right. We're going
to. No cocks coming out of everybody's mouths here. Go ahead, Bobby.
All right, Bobby. The floor is yours. Safe space. I promise.
Dude, I don't know that I can get back into that.
You got it.
I'm just saying that. Kakinen may serve as a better backup to a true number one because he can handle maybe who can handle resting more in between games and not playing as consistently.
Right. Again,
and I do like him as a goalie, and I think he's really good.
That's interesting. I think it was an automatic assumption that it was Jake Allen who would be a backup to whoever. But, you know, I mean, depending on how things go over the last couple of games, that's interesting, too.
He's got an easily movable contract.
Yeah, you trade Allen. Jake Allen and sign Kakinen for a couple of years.
Take some money off the books.
It's an interesting take on the cock, Bobby, yes.
Yes.
I do like the cock. He's a big guy.
You said you like to have the cock behind you, too. I noticed that.
All right, before we wrap it up
before you got railed.
Yeah, that was awful.
Before we wrap it up tonight.
Always wrap it up.
What do you guys think about the Buffalo game? I've been married 16 years, dude. That doesn't happen. The sex, I mean.
But the cock does. No. The Buffalo game. We got to win it. I mean, can't blow it.
They're going to come out. They got to come out hot.
I think they're going to come out strong. I think they're going to win the game.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm kind of feeling solid positive game. About this. Yeah, that's what you want to see, right? Nice, solid.
I don't care if it's an overtime win. I don't care if they barely win, but I do think that they are going to be super solid and they're going to give us the results in this game.
I would love that. I think it's very possible. And I think that if the Devils do make the playoffs, and if Kokkonen's like the man, we are going to a playoff game and we're going to hold up a sign that says cock block.
That's and we're going to be the cock block.
You know, like his supporters will be the cock block.
I like it. They have the brat pack. He has the cock blocks.
That's right.
I like it.
Your team just got cock blocked.
Our whole name. Our whole branding strategy.
That's right.
All right, we're going to wrap it up for the night, wherever you're listening to us. First of all, thank you for sticking around for an hour with us tonight.
Yeah,
yeah, we don't know how you did it. I had a hard time doing it. So thank you so much for checking us out. We also have some blogs up on theunclepuckers.com, some little takes on the season and things going on right now. So if you'd like, go check that out. We would really appreciate it. As far as that's pretty much it. Wherever you're listening to us, give us a subscription, a download, a like. We need more downloads. I got an email from the Hockey Podcast Network saying we need more downloads. I'm not kidding about that. Not just us, like the whole network. He was like, oh. it was like a fundraising ad from a fucking political politician, and it was
so typical of a boss. Yeah. You know, you have your best quarter ever, and then they still come in and be like, "Can I get a little more?"
Yeah, you think you can come in on Saturday?
Yeah,
actually, he had a list too of things that podcasters can do to get more downloads.
Don't talk about cock.
Cut shows in half.
Oh, everybody would love doing that.
Make a part one. And then a part two. So we would just randomly end this show 30 minutes in. And then tomorrow we download the rest of it because it's compelling enough that people are going to want to go back.
That would require editing capabilities, which we do not have.
Yeah, once we have you locked into this shit show, we got to keep you here. It's that simple. We can't let
you go. And here's a question. How many other shows are doing three a week right now?
That
I was actually going to say that we're putting out a little bit more than most shows.
Yeah, and I don't
think
it
was directed. I think that message was directed towards the other guys on the.
Yeah.
Well, I know for a fact it wasn't directed towards us for the simple fact that our numbers keep going up every month, so we're not the ones who are not getting the downloads.
12 downloads.
So
that's pretty good.
That's all. And what was some other stuff that he said?
That being said, people go to the website and download all our old shows too.
You guys, why does anybody download anything? Like, can't you just stream it?
Yeah, of course you can.
You can. Yeah.
So why the hell do they want downloads?
I don't understand why there isn't a way that you can just see how many people listened or watched your show. Apparently that way does not exist.
It's only they can. Downloads. No, they can see streams, but we can't see.
No, like for instance, only Spotify can see Spotify's streams, and Amazon or Apple can see their streams. There's no way for
they don't share that with everybody
to know how many streams they got all together through every.
You got to cross the streams.
Yeah, you got to cross the streams.
Just don't break the stream, or you get disqualified.
That's right.
You know, but you remember Chris on Bud? What was it? Buzzsprout. You could actually see every place that's downloading it, you can see formats are down. So you can see Spotify, and you can see
all the countries and how many were downloaded in each.
But that's just the downloads. That's not the streams.
It has nothing to do with.
And I'm going to tell you the truth. I've listened to a lot of shit, and I don't know how much I've ever downloaded.
I know you've never downloaded your show.
No.
Right.
I'm talking about stuff I actually listened to.
So yeah, but just the downloads are apparently a big thing.
Like, where are you that you don't have internet? You know, like I used to have to download shit because I wouldn't get solid internet like on a ride. But that was 10 or 12 years ago or something like that.
Well, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this one is the only one I download. You know, so I mean, we get quite a few downloads every month, and we appreciate the hell out of all
That's
you guys
great.
Are doing it. But
I
the ones that are just like streaming it, what are you doing, man? You're screwing us up here. You need the downloads.
You just download it. You set it. You subscribe. You set it, and then every quarter you can go ahead and get it off your phone. Just leave it there, you know, for the month.
We're all good. You go. Do what Bobby just said.
I'd like them to download it, burn it to a CD,
yes,
and then play it from a CD. Exactly.
Well, when we go to the best full way video, to it's all of our stuff. Not only will be in regular wherever you can get a video, it will all
millimeter.
It will all be on LaserDisc.
LaserDisc, yes.
Last week we had an 8-track playing our music. Now we're talking LaserDisc,
the best picture quality ever.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
On the next show, I got to do some notes. I want to talk about officiating and not just in this sport, but throughout like a few other sports. So I have a bunch of stuff I want to run by you guys. So that'll be we're doing one more show this week. It will be Saturday night after
the take on those fat guys.
I don't think I'm going to be here for it. I got to figure that out. I may be absent. Look,
you can have another birthday. Show. You don't have to go.
To oh wait, that's what you're doing—a freaking birthday party for your six-year-old.
Yeah, Saturday we're doing
and you're
that.
Yeah, miss the show, seriously.
Well, the problem is that yeah, exactly. Well, the problem is my wife actually works at the. I know, right? My wife works that same night at the hospital, 24 hours. So it's just me and the kids all night. So I probably ain't gonna miss because of that. All
right. Have them on the show. Have them on the show.
Yeah, we do that.
Have them read your news stories.
You have them read them exactly. Have them
that
read
would be
the
great.
Stories.
That
I think we could have split this show in three.
Lithuanian.
Yeah, well, yes. Maybe we'll do that the next time because we got to get some more downloads. So we are the Uncle Puckers for Bobby, Dan, Mr. Mom. I'm Chris. We'll see you when we see you.
Peace
out. Bye-bye.
So you're doing a fun birthday thing on Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to have her family over here. We're doing it early in the morning. That's why Friday night.
If we do the show late on Saturday, isn't that like
because my wife will be working overnight. Oh. Yeah, that's the problem. It's over.
Tell her quick.